those silent times are when God's letting us know how much we need Him. But I've heard some of the best bootleg preaching. I mean, Brother John, he snuck 8 or 9 good sermons in there, and they were gone before I could get them written down. But we sure appreciate you. And of course, many of my preacher friends are here, and I am what I am by the grace of God. And it's the people that God has brought into my life to invest in me and pray for me and help me. And so how can I not but pass that on? And we thank God for it. All the preaching this week, and from the missionaries, the evangelists, and the pastors that have come in, and the supporting churches around that encourage this church, we thank God for all of it. His mercies. Everything God doeth shall be forever. Your labor's not in vain in the Lord. And we've seen the mercies of the Lord. And the truth of the matter is, His mercies and compassions fail not, and they're new every morning. And, that one chapter over there in Psalms where it said, "For His mercy endureth forever." Says something about that. "For His mercy endureth forever." Do you ever think about all the mercy that you have to move out of your way every day? Every time, all the mercies God has had, they're still there.
Yeah.
And you have to bump into them and go around them. My life is so crowded from running into the mercies of God.
Amen.
Yes, I mean mercies from 41 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean mercies of 20 years ago and 30 years ago. I mean, they're just as real, just as fresh. And meetings like this help us remember where He's brought us from and where we could have been and all the mercies of God. And then they're new every morning. New mercies, I see. And all the mercies of God to bring us this far. And I may not have a message. It's just so good. So just think. Every mercy that's just as fresh today. But the reason Pastor Nichols believed it was God's will to have a jubilee, this type of a meeting, and God was working through the preachers, it's not what you call really a whole lot of shouting messages. Most of them were searching messages and preparation messages, because He's wanting to redo the foundation of a church and foundations of life so that He can do greater things down the way. But we need meetings like this. And Pastor knows we need to get close to the fire every once in a while. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the law of diminishing returns, the way the gravity works in the hemisphere and how God works in this world, He's created it so that everything is going down. The gravity pulls everything back to center. That's the same with the law of depravity. Everything constantly gets worse if we don't put brakes on it. If we don't have help, if we don't have mercies and grace, people are going to wax worse and worse, being deceived. But meetings like this will help put the brakes on, and it'll arrest our heart, and God will do new works in our life. And we so appreciate that God does that. Moses, when he went up for 40 days and 40 nights in the presence of Almighty God, and he came down, and the people didn't have to wonder where he'd been. His face shone. His face glowed. His face shone forth the glory of God. And Moses didn't just go up on a mountain once for 40 days. He did it twice for 40 days and 40 nights. And when he came down, the second time when he was up there, he said, "Oh Lord, just show me your glory." He said, "You can't handle my glory." And so he stuck him in the cleft of the rock and put his hand over him and passed by, let him see his hinder part. But he didn't let his glory pass by. He let his goodness pass by. So when we think about the goodness of God, that's as close to the glory as we're going to get. But his face shone and radiated. But over the years, as they wandered in the wilderness, that glow was fading. And so he put a veil over his face because people couldn't stand to look at him. But he kept the veil on his face so people wouldn't see the diminishing. God has called us and left us here as ambassadors and witnesses, and we're supposed to get as close to Jesus as we can. He chose 12 that they might be with Him, that He might send them forth to preach, but don't go out preaching until you've been with Him. Because when we've been with Him and spending time with the Lord and hear this good music and hear these good songs, that glow, that God, that goodness gets back in our life, gets on our face, and people take knowledge of us even though we're ignorant and unlearned men or men that are educated beyond their intelligence as I am. Nevertheless, He puts His glow back on our face and in our soul, and that starts burning again, and we have the righteousness of God is alive in our soul. And it gives us a double witness. Not just the witness of the Word of God. Not just the witness of the Holy Ghost backing the Word of God. But in our face. There are some preachers that just are as miserable as... We have no right to exercise the gifts of the Holy Ghost apart from the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, faith, meekness, temperance. I mean, we're supposed to preach with the gift of prophecy, and we're supposed to preach like an oracle of God, but we're supposed to preach with joy. We're supposed to preach with grace in our hearts to the Lord. I mean, the people of God can take a lot of preaching, but the Bible says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Not salt with a little grace put in it. I mean, we need to preach as an oracle. We need to preach like Jesus preached. And buddy, He got straight. And this preaching this week has just been exactly what my soul needed. And I thank every one of you for that. And church, thank you. You're the ones that made it possible. You follow the leadership of the Lord and the leadership the Lord had in your pastor, and you got together, and the food was great. The liberty, the preaching, this pulpit has been purchased at a great price, and the church has made sure that the pastor had that kind of liberty, and so that when we come in, we have the same liberty to preach as the pastor does. And what a blessing that is, because I go into a lot of pulpits, I said, oh boy. I mean, I don't know if I can, man. But it's sure been good. And I, what's the purpose of all this preaching? I'll tell you, it was to prepare us for worship. Constantly, as a pastor, over 25 years I pastored, been 11 years in evangelism, taught at Bible college for 17 years, a lot of people, and I have people come to me constantly as a pastor. Well, I don't see anything wrong. I can't see anything wrong with that. I don't see that. I don't read it that way, preacher. And I said, well, that's a pretty plain statement. If it's in the Bible, chapter and verse, it's for us today. There's some kind of lesson in it. There's some kind of application for it. And but then that's lost people that think that way. Except if man be born again, he cannot see or enter the kingdom of God. A natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know it. They're foolishness unto him, neither can they know it, for they are spiritually discerned. But boy, once you get through that and you start hearing these kind of messages we've heard this week, you start understanding. And you start understanding and seeing the providences of God working in your life. You start remembering where He's brought you from and where you could have been. And oh, listen, these meetings are like, that's what they do. They help us get back to setting our affection on things above, not on things of the earth. It's making eternal decisions instead of temporal decisions. So that when we see the things of God and we know what God is doing, that we're charged. We're changed into His image. Let me read you the verse. It says, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 18. No one rises above their concept of God. Whatever you've been worshiping is what you're becoming. Most people in America, I've been around the world, I haven't spent as much time out of this country as the Patnaud, but you ought to follow their trail. You follow their trail, you're going to find some good stuff. The Bible works. Amen. Lipa City, what a precious... see 400, 450 people. And he had the symbol that I've used all my life, the ox. Harness or the altar. Leave the choice to God. I'll serve you or I'll sacrifice. Your choice, Master. Oh, and that's, boy, what a powerful. And you see the people walking with God, loving the Lord. And listen, the Bible still works. It works in the Philippines. It works in India. It works in America. It works every time it's trusted. No. The Bible works every time it's trusted. You can't just try. You trust. I mean, I was raised seventh. I would have been a seventh generation Methodist preacher, and I had all the information prepared for the future and all those kind of things. But I'd tried every kind of sacrament there was. I'd been poured, sprinkled. I'd been immersed. I'd been catechized. I'd been ionized. I mean, I've been through all of it. I was teaching college career class when I was 14 years old, treasurer of the church when I was 19 years old. I mean, I've been around. I was head of the United Methodist Youth Fellowship of Central Indiana when I was 17 years old. I've been around, but I never could get it straight. I never had peace. I never had confidence that I was even born again. I was even saved. Everybody told me I was saved. Everybody told me I'd prayed the prayer. Everybody told me I'd been to the church. Everybody told me I was a good kid. Everybody told me I had a good life. Everybody told me I was okay. Everybody told me I was going to heaven. But I had no peace. And so I played the part in front of people, but I played the part of the fool when Mama wasn't looking. If I've ever confessed any sins in a pulpit, I beg people never tell my mama what she don't know. I don't want her to break her heart. But that law of diminishing light, we get close to the heat. On those cold days, that fire's there, you know. Oh, look up here. You know what I'm talking about. I tell you, we've got a world, America. America's got as many idols as the most heathen nation. I mean, India's known for their million gods. America's full of idolatry. Americans don't worship the devil. No. They worship an image they see in a mirror every morning. They bow down to that image. Oh, what do you think is right and wrong? Oh, what would make you feel good? Well, what would make you look good today? I mean, we worship that thing. I believe in you. I love you. But when you get close to God, you come into His presence. You wonder why preachers are humble? The right kind of preachers. We know more about ourselves than we'd like people to know. You've been in front of the kind of white light, blue light, black light, red light. In the presence of God, He shines upon our soul. Closer we get to God, our righteousness and our cleanliness looks awful. It like a moth eaten, and our comeliness is turned into... Listen, the closer you get, you'll start seeing how bad you really are. And you'll start understanding it was a marvelous thing the grace of God did when He saved your soul. I didn't have a clue how bad I really was. But after 41 years of walking with the Lord and reading the Bible and hearing the preaching of the Word of God, I'm more convinced today. Except for the marvelous grace of God. If God can save a first-class hypocrite like me, He won't have any trouble saving an honest sinner. You just get honest with God. Well, that diminishing light, it causes instability in our life and in our souls, and these kind of meetings are to help us to get those things back in our life. Get the safety things back in our life. Get the glow back in our faith. Get the fire back in our bones. Get something that we go out of here. People will take knowledge of us that we have been with Jesus. People say, preach. We're going to stay late tonight. We're going to preach four preachers in the morning. We're going to preach two at night and more. People, we'll see all that. You know, there's a lot of people just not going to be comfortable in heaven. I just really aren't. They're not going to like it at all. I remember I had the privilege of leading a man that was called the executioner in the Sons of Silence motorcycle gang downtown in Annapolis. Got his heart because we got his son on the bus. Last name Garber. But we went to him and he said, "Well, preacher, I've really been thinking about getting saved." I mean, you know, he couldn't eat mashed potatoes without a fork for nothing. He couldn't bend his arms fast enough. He couldn't eat mashed potatoes bare-knuckled. I don't know what man could do with those arms like that. They're no good for nothing. He has to have a spoon, a fork that long. Started witnessing to him. He said, "I don't want to go to heaven and sit around a cold gold brick street struggling a heart for eternity." I said, "Who told you that's what heaven's like? Who told you that?" "Well, it's in the Bible." There's a lot of people that get Shakespeare mixed up with the Bible, I'll tell you that. But worship is standing before a thrice holy God, remembering who He is, remembering who we are, and getting us back to where we understand the Bible and our Almighty God is. This book is not a bell that we ring to get our God to serve us. This is not some that charismatic name it, claim it, blab it, grab it stuff. That's not in this book. He saved us to serve Him. He's God. We're not. We don't demand, direct, or dictate anything to God. Well, I go to prayer meetings and about all I can say is when it's all over is we've given God an awful lot of counsel.
Yeah, come on. Come on, preacher. Yeah. Yes, sir.
He's wanting to counsel us. He's wanting to tell us what we need. You don't even know your heart except this book reveals it to you.
Amen.
The heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, try the heart.
Amen.
This book reveals what you really are when the preacher preaches. Start touching you. Well, I want that glow about me. I want to be able to preach hard. I want to be able to preach straight and the person know it's not me. I had people literally afraid of me as a pastor. They came to me and said, "We're just afraid. You preach like that." I said, "Listen, you don't ever have to worry about waking up tomorrow morning with a horse's head in your bed. You will never answer to me." This is not a Christian mafia. I'm not God's policeman.
Yeah.
I'm a counselor.
Yeah.
I'm a helper.
Yeah.
I'm one that's been saved by grace.
Yeah.
I warn you that if you walk with those things and walk in those places and you take those things in your life, it's going to hurt you.
Yeah, amen.
I've been there. I've done that. And I'm ashamed of it. Well, I'm sure everybody else wanted to be up here following all this. Whom having not seen, we love. Oh, we've seen Him this week. Church, you got the privilege of seeing Him. Seeing Him. What? Yeah. He's in the midst. He's promised to manifest Himself in a greater and clearer way when His people are gathered together than you could even experience it on your own. where two or three are gathered together in my name, under my authority, the way I tell you to set it up, doing it my way, there am I in the midst of them. Church is a place where we get the glimpse of heaven. Get to get a glimpse of home. And so we have a jubilee where we come and we see it and we taste and see that the Lord is still good. Everything's all right in the Father's house and everything's going away. He's got everything under control. And just when we think, it's over, He said, peace be still. And preachers can scream like little girls. I do it usually without people hearing me. But he spoke to us this week. What did he speak to you about this week? What did he speak to you about? I'm trying to see if there's anything in this message that I can preach for the next 2 minutes. Two minutes. But spending time worshiping, they saw the boldness. But if we don't have the witness, we have to get louder. We have to get meaner. We have to get obnoxious instead of obviously Christian. That awareness that jubilee puts the warmth back, the fire back, the steel back. Well, I promised my wife I wouldn't do that. I rip the coats when I do that, so. I'm a dreamer. Yeah. Jubilee makes us sensitive again. Sensitive to what the Spirit of God's doing. So you start feeling, why do people put their hands up? Why do people go like that? Because we want to be borne along by the breeze. We're trying to put up our sails to the wind. We're trying to catch the wind. We're trying to say, which way do you want me to go? Oh, what would you have me to do? Oh, how would you have me to change? Oh, what would you want me to be? The wind bloweth where it listeth, and when we get it, and jubilee comes, we're trying to give Him another opportunity, Pastor. We're trying to give the Holy Ghost another opportunity to do something more in a few nights, Brother Mark. He can do more in a few nights than He can all year plodding and plowing. Counts that faithfulness, though. But He's open. We give the Holy Ghost the door of opportunity to do something special. I've had it up to here, Brother Pat. With God's people, that we want our rights, we want our liberty, we want to do what we want to do, when we want to do it, the way we want to do it, as long as we want to do it. And God bless it.
Yeah, there you go. That's right.
How about the Holy Ghost having some liberty? Yeah. How about God getting His way? How about Jesus having control? Yeah. How about the... But unless He's real, unless we sense that reality, you can't worship without a sense of reality.
Yes, sir.
You cannot put on worship.
Yeah, amen.
You can't fake it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm an American. I can worship God according to the dictates of my own heart. I can worship God any way out when I want to. Well, yeah, as an American, you sure can.
Yeah.
It's just it will not be accepted by God except you come His way. His time, His place, you don't do it your way. Thou shalt not worship a false god. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And I like that Hebrew word, means in my face. Get your gods out of my face. So when we get jubilee time, we are on purpose trying to get in God's face.
Amen. Yeah.
The cherubim cannot look upon that face. They look away. The cherubim look away. The seraphim look forward. but they cover their face so they can't see him. The beasts fall down and don't look at him. No man hath seen God at any time in his glory. Revelation 22. Said, but we shall behold his face forever. You know what Jubilee is? Forgive my cold hand. It's God coming in the midst. And our heads are bowed down. You see. Look at my face.
Yeah. Amen.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Amen.
It is I. Be not afraid.
Amen.
Call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee great amount of things which thou knowest not. Come. Come unto me. All ye that labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest.
Yeah.
It's me.
Yeah.
It is I. I can calm the storm.
Yeah.
I can speak peace to your soul.
Yeah.
It's me.
Yeah.
Draw near. In full assurance of faith. You know, one more illustration. Is this connected? Okay. Loose him and let him go, just like the donkey. Never forget. It's not about me. It's not about you. There's somebody else in that chair. He's the one the singers are really singing to. He's the one I'm really preaching for.
Amen. That's right, brother.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's someone watching your face.
Yeah. Amen.
He's checking us out. He's wanting to receive our worship.
Yeah.
He knows our thoughts afar. He knows where you'd rather be tonight. He knows where your heart really is tonight. He knows where your mind is tonight. He knowing their thoughts. That's why you can't whip him. He knows when you're about to throw a left hook. He knows when the devil's about to throw a left hook. There's someone else receiving. There's someone else that knows whether you put all your heart, soul, mind, and strength in your singing.
Amen.
Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength.
Yeah, amen, preacher. Yeah.
And he knows if you're holding back.
Amen.
Anything less than your best is blasphemy.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Well, I'll go work for the Lord after I get everything else I want to do done. I'll give Him the rest of my strength. No, give Him the first of your strength.
Yeah, amen.
And you'll be surprised how far you'll go on the rest of it. Give Him your tithes.
Amen.
Before you give the government their taxes.
Amen.
You'll need a God when the government can't take care of you.
Yeah, amen.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, amen. Worship Him. Come into His presence with complaining and griping and whining and criticizing. No, come into His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God, is He that has made us, not we ourselves. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter in His courts with singing, into His gates with singing, enter His courts with praise.
Amen.
Be thankful unto Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good.
Amen.
And all these praises and testimonies tonight, it's just saying thank you. We've been saying thank you, 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 thank you. Why? Why should God do anything else for us until we're grateful for what He has done? But we've been thankful tonight. I can't wait to see what God's going to do in the next few months.
Yeah, amen.
To a thankful people.
Yeah, amen.
Because He's watching.
Yeah.
He's on a throne. And when we come to the old-fashioned altar that you've been neglecting, especially as preachers, come boldly to the throne of grace. Now, where is His throne tonight? In heaven? Well, where's heaven? Way out yonder? Or just in that next dimension? just... The angels are right here.
Amen.
The demons are right. If we could see what was really going on, we'd all be scared to death. We really knew. But when you come to the old-fashioned altar, Jesus is here tonight.
Yeah.
I know He's in us, and I know the Spirit of grace dwells in us, the Holy Ghost. But He said, when we draw near the old-fashioned altar, we can take care of here things that we won't have to take care of at the judgment seat of Christ. Because it's the same throne of grace.
Yeah.
Come to the altar! Talk to the Master. And you won't have to worry about the judgment seat of Christ on that issue. Keep accounts short.
Amen.
Oh, it's a real throne.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Amen.
And He's a real person.
Yeah.
He is real.
Yeah.
And we've kind of sensed Him this week. Amen?
Yeah.
And He's given us grace and mercy to help in time of need. How you doing? How you doing with God? Well, I'm doing good. Let's ask your wife about that. The wife says, well, I'm doing okay. Let's see. What's your husband think about that? Ask the children how the parents really are. Ask the parents how the children are doing. We preach, oh, bless God, I'm right with God, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. Let's ask your people about that. He makes all the difference. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul. That's your life principle, your personality, everything you got. With all your mind. Some of you just need to make up your mind. And with all your strength, don't hold back. Don't put the brakes on.
Amen.
Don't be a wet blanket.
Right.
Let's roll with this wind. Let's put the sails up tonight. Let us let the Lord have His way in our hearts every day.
Amen.
And do everything we do for the glory of Him that's in the midst of His church. Father, we love you. Ask your blessings that you would give us the grace and the reality of what this meeting was really for. It was to help us get back close to the person that made everything about life and love and liberty and learning and leaning precious. Oh, to hear that young man testify tonight about precious. Precious things. Jesus, for He is so precious to me. For He is so precious to me. 'Tis heaven below my Redeemer to know. For He is so precious to me. Pastor, I'm done.